All right, so one of our favorites, Matt Hayes, senior national college football writer, USA Today, and host of 1010XL. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Michael. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy coming on with you guys. I love the show. My favorite show.
Right. And not only are you one of our favorites, Matt, I mean, there's no better time, in our opinion, for you, because you give us a hard time, because we like to basically ask, you know, who's getting fired and this, that, and the other. And, hey, it's firing season right now. I don't want to waste much time on old Billy Napier. That came and gone. But is it Lane Kiffin or bust for the Gators? Because I'm sensing it even from your timeline.
I think that's their optimum candidate. They started vetting him a long time ago, long before this. So I think he's clearly a guy they're looking at. I think they're looking at Eli Drinkwitz, a friend of your show, of course, and my show in Jacksonville on the radio show there in 1010XL. Both good coaches, both good dudes. I think they do well getting either one of those guys. The question is, can they get them? Lane's very happy there. Lane makes a lot of money in Oxford. His family lives there. His former wife moved there, so she's there now. She was at the game, the Georgia game last weekend, in the bowels of the stadium. You know, typically with coaches at the end of games, their wives stand there and wait for them, and they walk out together after they do all the stuff. And, you know, so it's what happens typically. And his ex-wife was there waiting for him. So clearly they're on better terms. Well, I'm not getting into any of that because I don't really know it, but clearly that's a thing now. She lives there. His family's there. He's comfortable there. He likes it there. He's grown as a person there, like, exponentially over the last 3-4 years. He's a different guy, man. It's impressive the way he's grown. And I think not only off the field, but on the field as well. He's a terrific coach. We all know that. So I think it's going to be difficult to pry him out of there. Could they? Yeah. I think a year ago I would say, yeah, they could get him. And now I'm kind of like, I don't know. And Eli's the same way. You know, Eli's probably going to win 10 games again this year. And Missouri will pay him whatever Florida pays him. And I think Ole Miss will pay Lane whatever Florida wants to pay him. So both those guys is going to be, where do I want to be? Where do I want to coach? Clearly, it's easier to win big at Florida than it is to win big at Ole Miss and Missouri. So I think that's if these guys are truly based in what most coaches, most, they all have egos, man. We all know that because they're competitors. Then the idea is, oh, I'll go there and I can win it all. So we'll see. I think those are the two leading candidates. After that, it's like if either one of those two falls through, then you're looking at, all right, now where do you go? And is it like Jed Fish, the Washington coach, who's a Florida alum, who's was an assistant at the program a long time ago, like a, I guess you call them analysts way back then. He's another guy I guess could be looked at. But there's any number of people. Once those first two don't happen, I think then you start looking down the road of, all right, well, what's next? Now, if you start throwing John Gruden's name in there, Florida's not hiding John Gruden. If John Gruden gets a job, it's going to be something like a Group of Five job, or I would be shocked if somebody in the power conferences hired John Gruden. Well, I mean, would Kentucky? Maybe if they decide to pay, what is it, almost $40 million for Mark Stoops. Well, look, at this point, we should not be surprised by anything, because – big money got James Franklin. Big money got Billy Napier. And Brian Kelly may be next. And Mike Norvell maybe after that. We have no idea at this point. You started this whole conversation by saying it's firing season. It clearly is. And there's so much money out there right now to be had. There's such a demand to win and win now. These universities are willing to say, all right, well, let's just give this guy the walking away money and start over. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that Florida State, which is literally, Michael, Florida State is a year and a half away from being unbeaten with Jordan Travis. I think they could have won the national title with Jordan Travis if he was healthy. And, you know, you got a vote of confidence that clearly looked like one of those hostage videos. You know, it read like a hostage video. I mean, clearly Mike Norvell's in big trouble, okay? But they're going to have to pay him like $60 million. $60 million. Penn State. James Franklin was a play away from playing for the national championship. 6 games later, he's fired. And they're giving him $50 million to make him walk away. It's amazing where we are right now. And I've said this before, and I've written this, and I'll say it again. I don't ever, ever, ever want to hear another coach or athletic director or conference commissioner ever again say, it's unsustainable what's going on right now. Because clearly it is. You start paying $50 million for a guy to walk away. Guess what? It's very sustainable. So players deserve money too. And the whole idea that it's unsustainable that players get paid and, you know, they're sharing revenue with players. Come on. Don't be ridiculous.
And do you chuckle at all, Matt, when you hear, I've heard a lot of people, you know, they're like, we got to do something about this when it comes to these coaching salaries and these buyouts. We got to get them down. This is ridiculous stuff. And then meanwhile, Ole Miss and Missouri, they'll bend over backwards and give Drink and Kiffin respectively whatever the hell they want because they don't want to lose. I mean, and you can go down the line. Vanderbilt, Clark Lee, he's probably going to get, if he doesn't leave, he's going to get probably more money. You can't have it both ways, can you?
No. I mean, Kurt Cignetti's coached 20 games in Indiana. 20, Michael. Okay? 20 games. Now he's 18-2, which is impressive. He got him in the playoff with a little help from the committee last year. Impressive. I think they're the best team in the country right now, this season. Okay? Clearly, some power conference blue bloods will come after him after this season. So Indiana did the right thing. And by the right thing is they signed him to a $93 million fully guaranteed extension. Fully guaranteed. So no matter what happens, he's getting that $93 million. So I think that's where we are right now. And I don't think you can get out of that cycle. If you are a program that says we need to go hire an experienced coach that's done it before, you cannot get out of the cycle of we got to pay this guy more than what he's worth, and it's got to be guaranteed. Now you can go down the road of a group of five coach. You can pay him significantly less, and it's not fully guaranteed, or it could be 75% guaranteed because Jimmy Sexton's the agent. Jimmy Sexton is the kingmaker, and that dude's good. He is good, Michael. I'll tell you what. You could do that, but you know, then you risk, okay, Billy Napier. Billy Napier looked like a great hire. A guy that, you know, won big at the group of five level, was a guy that was really highly, highly respected throughout the coaching fraternity. A guy that could recruit, that was an organizer, you know. But then when these guys get in these big jobs, Michael, they all of a sudden something happens, and they start to think that they're smarter than the framework that they've built. Billy Napier should have hired an offensive coordinator 2 years ago and didn't. Eli Drinkwitz did. Look what's happened since he has. So there's just too much. There's too much for one guy to have complete control over. And I think everyone's starting to understand that and realize that. You know, I always hear people talk about, oh, Lane Kiffin's this great play caller. He's this great offensive coordinator. He's not the offensive play caller. He's not the coordinator. Charlie Weiss Jr. is. Now, Lane will get on the headset with him during the game and say, hey, let's run this. Charlie Weiss Jr. coordinates that offense, and he calls the plays. And Lane has said that now for 2 years, and I still don't think people believe him. But Lane did that as well. He gave over the offense to Charlie Weiss Jr., and look what's happened at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, you referenced Jimmy Sexton. He was there in Athens. Do you read anything into that? Is that, I know, I would assume, I believe he's Kirby's his client as well, but
yeah.
Do you read anything into that? Does that mean anything to you?
No, I think he typically goes to big games of his clients, and Jimmy's a fan of college football too. And he's really good at what he does. So he's, you know, it's a relationship thing, and he's really good at it. And has very strong relationships with his clients. So I wouldn't read anything into that at all, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, it kind of goes without saying, Matt, that, you know, let's say 10 years ago, if the Ole Miss coach or the Missouri coach got offered by Florida,
right,
they'd be gone before they could hang up the phone, right? But times have changed. You can win big at Ole Miss. Clearly, you can win big at Missouri. What would be, because that's the number one thing we hear from Ole Miss and Missouri fans, why the hell would Drink leave?
Right.
Why the hell would Kiffin leave?
Right.
Is it one of two things, Matt, where maybe it's, like you said, these guys got ego, they're very competitive. We have seen Florida can win the national championship. Is it easy? I don't know if easier is the right word, but a national championship attainable in Gainesville? And is it that, and perhaps, you know, the elevated status of being like a rock star coach? You know, like that game on Saturday, I know it was pretty awesome, Ole Miss, Georgia, but it just feels like the Florida coach is going to be involved in a lot more of those. Is it a combination of those two things?
So I think, honestly, Michael, when you – most of these coaches, they just want to win because they're just crazy competitive, and they all have egos. There's no doubt about it, and they'd all admit that. I think the difference between coaching at Florida and let's say LSU and something crazy happens with Brian Kelly, because Brian Kelly was apologizing to fans this week at his weekly press conference. Brian Kelly, who is the ultimate, I'm doing it my way, you just watch, I will win, don't worry about it, was basically hat in hand at his press conference this week. He gets it. He understands where he is right now. It's a crazy time to be a head coach at a major blue blood because no one has patience. So the difference between Florida and an LSU, in a Alabama, a Georgia, then Ole Miss and Missouri is you have the ability to build it organically. You're not completely reliant on the transfer portal. Now, Eli and Lane both have done a really good job recruiting high school players, but they're not getting the type of players that they would get at LSU or at Florida or at Alabama. That's a different thing. So you ask me, like, what's the difference? I think that's probably the biggest difference is you're not completely relying on, oh, my gosh, now we got to go in the portal, which we all know is a crapshoot. It is literally the land of the unloved and the unwanted and the egotistical. Because either you're in that you're in the portal because they don't want you, your previous team doesn't want you, doesn't think you're any good, or you're looking for a payday. And you've got to find the right guys to fit into your system. One of them wasn't wanted. The other one wants a payday. That's a difficult personality to bring into your program, to assimilate into your program within 6-7 months and then start again. So it's easier. I guess the long story short is it's easier to organically build from high schools to get to that point where, okay, now we got it rolling. But at the same point, it also takes a little longer. And if the patience is not as long as it used to be, then where are you, right? So it's a delicate line they're walking. They want to build it organically and supplement through the portal. But at some point, you've got to get like legit impact guys in the portal too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you keep mentioning Brian Kelly, and I know you just wrote about it for USA Today. I'll put a link in the show notes to that column. But, you know, what? Because I feel like they're going to force him to blow up the offensive staff and give him one more shot. But how realistic is it that Brian Kelly is not back at LSU in 26?
I don't know. I think that's a lot of money, okay? $54 million is a lot of money. And, I mean, frankly, I think that's what he'd be owed. They fired him. I mean, the fact that Penn State paid what they paid is just remarkable. $50 million is – we were like, how much was Gus Malzahn? How much was Auburn? Auburn, which basically fires everyone and pays them off, every coach ever. We were like, $25 million? You know, and then the Jimbo thing hit, and we were all like, okay, this is ridiculous. But you could at least see that because it's A&M. It's the oil money. They're desperate to win. They've never won. They're, like, desperate to be – what they believe they can be. And by the way, they're close to it right now because they made that change, because they paid that $74 million or $77 million, whatever it was, and they hired another guy. And now Mike Gutko, who started at the beginning of this – I'm going off a tangent here – started at the beginning of the season saying that he had his best team and he really liked his team and he didn't know why people were still on the whole Texas 8-5 thing, which I admit I was a charter member of Texas 8-5, and now I'm off that bandwagon because they look really good. I mean, they're unbeaten. They're rolling into that game, and – if they go into Baton Rouge and win that game big, buddy, let me tell you something. That's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it means Brian Kelly is going to get fired. I'm like you. I think in a normal world, right, you're like, hey, Brian, you know, the hire you made offensive coordinator didn't work. And again, these guys can't tell them to hire coordinators. They can just suggest it. You can't force somebody to do that. So they'll just suggest it. But that was yesterday. Today now, Michael, is not, hey, maybe you should hire an offensive coordinator. Today is, you're out. We're going to give you $54 million. You got to go. So would I be shocked if it happened? Yes, I would. But I'd also be like, all right, this is the new world we're in. And my guess is Brian Kelly thinks the same way. He'd be shocked, sure, just like James Kelly was shocked. But this is the world we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and heck, after A&M for him, it's at Alabama. So it's not exactly getting any easier either.
It's in Oklahoma too, Michael. Yeah, it's. I mean, LSU's got some heavy lifting to do over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about you who just got through that heavy slate and now he's facing the heat? Is Hugh Freeze down on the plains? Is there any chance he's back at Auburn?
I mean, I was shocked. I mean, we all know Auburn. Come on, I was actually shocked that Hugh Freeze wasn't fired first before Billy Napier. Yeah. And I wrote last week, Wednesday, that Napier could be fired as soon as this weekend, and he was. But I was actually shocked that Freeze. Well, I mean, you hired Hugh Freeze because he's a quarterback's guru, he's an offense guru, and everything he's done since he's been there has been horrific offensively. He has a system right now with play callers where he has three guys calling plays. One guy calls first down, one guy calls second down, another guy calls third down. He's one of those guys, by the way. And over that entire thing is an umbrella of, oh, by the way, I can make any call I want over the other guys in case I need to. My God. Like, and he publicly announced that, like, before the season. They talked about that. If I was the president or AD at Auburn, right then I would have said, we're firing him at the end of the season. I mean, right? You just don't do that. You don't do that. It's like, it's almost like he's asking to be fired. And look what happens. Look at the product that's on the field. Their defense might be the best defense in the country. They're fantastic on defense. They are an absolute train wreck on offense. And you hired him because he was an offensive guy.
Well, you said it well. I mean, I've been saying the same things basically since they hired him. Hey, does it surprise you mentioned Mark Stoops? We have been told he's done. He's out. He will not be back at Kentucky. Now, I don't think they want to fire him because of the buyout. They're hoping he can land at another spot, but he will not be back. We've been told that adamantly. What's your
breaking
thoughts
on news
that?
Here on that SEC podcast? Is that what you're doing?
I guess so. Yeah.
Wow. Well done, Michael. Well done. I think if Kirk Ferentz retires, which is kind of like the overwhelming idea, then I think Mark could probably get that job just because he's an Iowa guy. They want someone that fits who and what they are, and I think he'd fit perfectly in there. So if you're saying that's what Kentucky's hoping for, my guess is it's exactly what they're hoping for. That, you know, the season ends and Kirk Ferentz says, you know, I'm done. I had a great run. You know, it's time to retire. And then you go to Mark Stoops. Now, I don't know if the Iowa fans would be so accepting of recently as what has happened to Kentucky. But if you look at Mark's totality of his work at Kentucky, it's impressive. It really is. I mean, he's won consistently at a place that's very difficult to win at. And they've given him support, obviously, what they've done with the football facility and the improvements to the stadium and the money they have. They've given him support. It's just difficult to win there.
Right. Yeah, he's the winningest coach in Kentucky history. So yeah. I don't think they certainly do not want to kick him to the curb is, you know, kind of how it's been relayed to me. All right, Matt, last thing for you. I really appreciate your time. You also wrote about, and I'll put a link in the notes to this as well, but Georgia, defense, optional. The SEC's turned into the Big 12 overnight. I mean, what wacky world are we living in here?
Michael, I have never seen Kirby so, like, I mean, Kirby was, number one, he was drained. He's always drained after games. But he, like, didn't have an answer for his defense. It was funny because there was somebody in the media was asking about coverages and stuff. I always love that, by the way, when the media guy's like, what about this coverage? And why aren't you using this coverage? And somebody said about zone coverage. Why don't you play more zone? And he goes, he was 12 of 12 throwing against us in zone. And then he goes, I love Kirby. He goes, we were just playing man-to-man, so hoping we can get to second and 10. That's all. I've never seen him more flustered about his defense and what's going on right now. They made three big stops in the fourth quarter, no doubt about it. Trinidad Chambliss, who basically did whatever he wanted for 3.5 quarters, the last three drives was 1 of 10. For 1 yard, Michael. So they obviously stepped up in the last three drives. But the first five drives, oh my gosh. That first five drives, if I'm Charlie Weiss Jr., that's my resume. Anybody want to hire me? Here's my resume, the Georgia game, the first 3.5 quarters. I was shocked how bad that defense looked and how exposed they look. But it's not just that game. They were exposed against Tennessee. You could see it there. They're going to be exposed down the road as well. I think it's a number of things. It's high school recruiting. They're not recruiting the defensive line and the front seven really like they used to, because there's other teams now that are, you know, there's money now, so everybody can get these guys. Right. And he's not stacking and packing them on the roster like he used to. And now you get to the second level guys in the roster, and all of a sudden Trayvon Walker's not the second guy on the roster anymore. You know what I mean? Like it used to be, second guy on the depth chart. So that's kind of where he's at right now, and he's really frustrated about it. But again, that's college football in this day and age, man. That's where we are.
Right. And I don't know if you're aware of this, Matt, but the top two prospects from the state of Georgia in the last two recruiting classes, do you have any idea where they're playing college football?
One of them's at Texas Tech, right? Or one of them reclassified and is going to Texas Tech, the kid, the top one from 26, I think it is, right?
And the other one's at Texas. So there you go. It's a new age when Kirby can't outbid Texas people.
It's the oil money, baby. That's the oil money.
All right, shout out. Thank you so much, Matt Hayes. But before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you and how to find all your work?
Yeah, you can read me at usatoday.com, and you can listen daily, noon to 2, 1010XL in Jacksonville.
All right, thank you so much, Matt. That was great.